Many people think that Claude Code is better than Cursor, so I brought on an AI coding expert, Ross Mike, to break down what Claude Code is and why it's changing the world of AI coding. We talked about how Claude Code is different than tools like Cursor and Windsurf. We talked about how to get started building with Claude Code. We looked at an app that Mickey built fully with Claude Code, and we also talked about why Anthropic is building Claude Code the way they are. Let's dive in.
Ross Mike, in your last YouTube video, you said that Claude Code is the best programming agent, and I've actually heard other people say the same. Do you really think that it is better than tools like Cursor?
I think so. I believe so. Not only have I used it like very much in the last 2 weeks, but I also understand why I think that way. And I want to kind of explain, if it's okay with you, share my screen and sort of like just get into Excaladron diagram why I think so. More than anything, one thing that we all understand is that Claude is the best model for programming, right? I think we all understand that all the big providers have sort of picked their lane. Like OpenAI seems to be going for the more personable, B2C, feely, you know, human companion type vibe. And then Anthropic has picked its lane where it wants to go into the programming lane. And I actually was at a Claude Code conference where they announced Claude Code. And the big difference really is if you're using Cursor, Windsurf, Zed, like whatever it is, right? I know everyone has their camps. Like we have Cursor here, we have Windsurf here, and then let's say you're, you know, an OG and you're using VS Code, right? If you're using any of these like tools, you notice that some people are like, oh, I think Cursor's better. Some are like, oh, I think Windsurf's better. And some are like, oh, they're the same. I just use VS Code. Underlyingly, they all use the same model. Now, the question is, what really makes them different? Why could one user think Windsurf is better than one user thinking Cursor is better? Now, there is some sort of anecdotal point to it where like maybe someone just had a good run and they think it's better and someone had a bad run with the other tool. But really, the difference is they're all using the same model, but they're all building their own tools, right? So the model in and of itself is useless, right? It's just an image. It's just a resource store. It has all this knowledge, right? So you can ask it questions, but if you tell Claude 4, read this file in my code base and tell me what it does, it has no way of doing so. So what makes Cursor, Windsurf, and VS Code unique is they have tools that they've built, right? So for example, like if you use Cursor and you look at the tools it calls, like you'll see something like file reader, right? And then like you'll see something like, I don't know if you've ever like seen like Cursor or Windsurf when they're about to push an update, sometimes like you see gibberish. If you look at the gibberish, it'll be like writing file, right? So you'll see that what makes Cursor and Windsurf different is that although they're using the same underlying model, they're developing their own tools, right? So Cursor has its own file reader tool. And the way this works is, maybe I can like illustrate this better, is let's say this user, right, goes to Cursor, right? This user is using Cursor and this user asks Cursor, Cursor, can you change the color of this page to green? What happens is Cursor fires that off to Claude 4.0 and Claude 4.0 is going to say, oh, the user wants me to change the color of this page. I need to know where the page is. So what Claude is going to do is Claude is going to fire off the tool that Cursor has provided for Claude. And that tool is going to read the file, give the contents back to Claude. Now Claude is then going to be like, okay, this is where the file is. This is the code that I need to change. Now I need to change it. So Claude then fires off the other tool, and this tool allows it to write to the file, right? These tools are developed by Cursor, Windsurf, VS Code. And how they've implemented these tools, how these tools work together, the efficiency of the tools, how they handle context, memory, this is sort of the secret sauce that Cursor and Windsurf are fighting for, which is why, if you notice, Windsurf developed its own model and Cursor raised a bajillion dollars, and they're probably going to develop their own models, because right now what they're fighting over is this. This is their differentiator right now, because everyone is using Claude 4, right? But what happens is when they have their own models now, they can have their own models that are trained a certain way, and that becomes an edge for them. That's a business podcast. But underlyingly, this is how Cursor and Windsurf work. They have tools, memory, different ways of handling context. Like they'll even maybe fine tune specific models for certain things. And, you know, working at an AI startup, I know this. It's not just one giant Claude agent. They probably have multiple agents, maybe even using different models, right? Maybe they have like a specific model and they use Gemini like 2.5 Flash because it has a large context window that ingests the entire code base and gives like summarized context to Claude 4.0 because Claude is expensive. I say that to say this is the edge that Cursor and Windsurf have. Now, where does Claude Code come into play? Claude Code, although not a similar interface, meaning they didn't fork VS Code, Claude Code is essentially built on Claude's model, right? But they, this time, have built their own tool calling. And this is sort of the understanding I have. Like, I spoke with some of the team at Claude at the conference, and first and foremost, they're going all in on this. Second of all, they told me 95% of their engineers use Claude Code. Very few are using Cursor and Windsurf. The other 5% are just rebels who want to use like Vim or like maybe they'll use like you know, Cursor or Windsurf. But majority of their developers are using Claude Code. It was originally an internal tool. Now they've made public. And the thought process I have is the one developing the model will probably know the best way to develop the tools, right? And this is why, from my personal usage, again, I don't have like data, like intrinsic data for you to say, oh, this is the percentage. But from my personal use, especially with larger code bases, Claude Code seems to understand code better and execute code better. And it does feel more agentic, right? You can allow it to continue on, like I think it's called auto mode or something. You enable it, and not only will it continue till the task is complete, but there are certain instances where it will try to write tests and it'll test the code, right? It does feel a lot more agentic than Cursor and Windsurf and VS Code. And Cursor launched with 1.0 background jobs or background agents. I think that's what they call it. And that's what I would say is a direct competitor to Claude Code. So the reason why I think Claude Code is better is because the model provider is finally building the tools that make tools like Cursor and Windsurf better. And who better built it than the one actually developing the model? So that's kind of my spiel and my thesis as to why I think Claude Code is better.
When you use Claude Code, do you use it within Cursor? I've heard some people use Claude Code in Cursor. And so, like, is that just like the ultimate stack? Because like I tried to use Claude Code and I actually asked Cursor how to set it up and I actually got it set up, but I didn't have the normal IDE. So it was hard for me to go to the right file, like, because I was like uploading images and I was trying to give it context of the file that I wanted to reference, but like there was nothing to look at. So can you talk about why people use Claude Code within Cursor? And then like, why you think this, like, what do you think of this interface of Claude Code versus Cursor?
It's definitely very geared to developers. And my actually favorite setup is, I don't know if you can see my cursor, is the way I kind of have it set up is I will have Claude, like I'll open Claude Code and I can show like how like you set it up. But I just want to give you like a quick rundown on how I have it set up is I'll pin Claude Code to the top left and then I'll still have my terminal here. And then I'll have my cursor chat. And what I've really been enjoying is I'll use cursor, like I'll use Claude 4.0 for asking. So basically like I'll build my understanding of what it's doing, how this code base works, or I'll build like my questions. Like this is like the assistant I ask questions and Claude Code is sort of my executor. So it is true in a sense where I think, especially for a vibe coder, it's best to mingle the two. I don't think you should use Claude Code by itself with like a VS Code or just raw dog it on terminal. I think it becomes very confusing. But if you couple it with, let's say you're a Windsurf guy, Windsurf and Claude Code, or you're, you know, a cursor person, cursor and Claude Code, I think you get the best of both worlds. And here's the best part. I know there's a lot of comparison videos, but you can use both, right? Which to me seems like a great compromise, right? I can use Claude Code, and if it feels like it's not my type of thing, I can use like cursor chat. But I think what makes Claude Code special is the model provider is building the tools. And I don't know if I've just been on a hot streak, but I've had instances where like the regular, whether it be Cursor or Windsurf, just would not get it done. Claude, even though it took longer, got the task done. And the thesis that I'm going with is the same thing I shared, is I think the model provider building the tools for the model, they just end up knowing what works best, right? So I highly, highly recommend, if you're going to give Claude Code a shot, definitely couple it with your favorite ID, whether it be Cursor or Windsurf.
Because you have to remember, I mean, these companies are hedging, right? Like Cursor and Windsurf, at least up until a few months ago, are building their models to be, are building their product to be model agnostic, to use any of the models. Now, with Windsurf, it's interesting because Windsurf is rumored to be bought by OpenAI for $3 billion, and now is Anthropic cutting them off of tokens intentionally or unintentionally. I don't want to get into the rumors. I don't think it matters that much. Yeah. But like, if you think about it, it makes sense that the company, like if you really think the edge is in the tools that it uses, like whatever, like if Claude ends up being the best coding model in the world, you would think that Anthropic would be the best at building those tools around it, because they can build the model specifically for those tools.
Exactly. Yeah. They literally have the cheat code.
And then it just makes sense for them to go all in at that point, because if they can own programming, like that seems, you know, and that makes sense to me, that Claude just owns the programming side and OpenAI owns the kind of the become your best friend personality side or whatever hardware they're building. So that's really, really interesting.
Cursor and Windsurf, I think they are starting to see that Claude is sort of inching in the direction where at first there was a big separation, right? Claude was like, we'll just provide the model, you two battle it out with UX, you two battle it out with actually getting users. Now it seems like Claude is stepping in that front, and Cursor and Windsurf, you also want, I think the moat for them becomes the model, right? V0 launched like their own specific model that's trained on Next.js and stuff. And I think like for tools like this, if they build their own specialty models based on, you know, all the training data they get from the users, or they see what people really like to use from a business perspective, it does make a lot of sense. They also get to raise a lot of money to justify doing that, right? So this is sort of how I've been thinking about it. I don't know if you've used Windsurfers. I think it's SWE-1. It was actually a decent experience. I didn't really get to use it as much, but it was very fast. It felt like the tabbing felt very fresh. It felt like it was a pleasantly good experience. So I do see Cursor-1 or Windsurf version 2 coming out soon. So that's why I'm kind of like, and if you're like an AI builder, like Claude Code has an SDK coming out too, where you can literally build on top of it. So it seems to me they're definitely coming for everyone's lunch.
And wait, talk about that for a second. You said it has an SDK, which means people can build their own custom interfaces for it.
So yeah, instead of like, you know, your tempos, your lovables, your bolts, your vibe code, like instead of like building the tools for your agent and all that stuff, they're literally like, right now it's terminal based. But their team said, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, the SDK currently supports command line usage, TypeScript, and Python SDK coming soon. So they're entering a world where they're telling the up-and-comers, these guys will probably always build their own stuff, but the up-and-comers, like, you focus on UX, we'll handle everything else for you, right? So you can imagine yourself building a very clean, seamless UX that literally runs on Claude Code, and you end up having a model that competes with all these other guys, right? So that's interesting.
I think there's going to be some use cases for that aren't like just broad coding things. Like, I feel like there's going to be like micro coding tools for one specific niche that might be on the mobile device, or I don't know. I've never thought about this before, but my mind is running with a bunch of different ideas, because if you could basically create a Claude Code wrapper. And if you think Claude Code is as good as Cursor, then, you know, we're going to get like something that is as powerful as a Cursor wrapper. And that's terrifying. Like, you know, as someone who is, we're building a vibe coding startup, you know, it's terrifying to think that anyone can create a Claude Code wrapper, but it's also very fun and interesting. And maybe, yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, what do you, 6 months from now, what do you think that looks like? Like, what do you think people are going to build on top of Claude Code?
You're right. What happens when everyone has access to the greatest agent, coding agent, and can build on top of it? I do think niche, I never know which one is the correct pronunciation, specific like platforms are going to win. Like, for example, let's say you have a vibe coding tool that's specific to React, right? Or you have a vibe coding tool specific to like WordPress or whatever, right? I think like the niche tools are going to start to win because you can sort of like, they haven't mentioned any fine tuning, but I can imagine like if you could fine tune the model to specific like types of programming or frameworks or stuff like that, and you build like specialized user interface and you have content, right? The model arena is definitely getting taken over by Claude Code. And unless one of these guys, and that's their goal, and that's why Cursor raised $900 freaking million, is because the only thing you can really build to withstand this behemoth is build another one, right? So
build Anthropic. That's
literally all you could do, right? Because like at some point, like the tool calling, like at first I remember when GPT-4 just came out, we were like on 3.5 to 4, like people were building like these open source, like I remember one of them was called like Auto GPT, and the uniqueness was like being able to like have tools, right? And tools were a big deal. Now tools have become normal, and then we have the MCP era, and like this moat that these tools had is disappearing very, very slowly. And on top of that, they forked VS Code. We can all fork VS Code, right? So the big differentiator they can have is to build richer UX on top of what they have, which Cursor made a big bet, background agents. I don't know if you saw, they have their code reviewer, which is like a code rabbit alternative, right? So they're building around the IDE, but then they're also going to build a model, which makes sense. But
they're also building a mobile app too. Like Cursor's building a mobile app.
I didn't even know that. So that's insane.
I follow their head designer on X. He's been posting it for a couple months now, some sneak peeks of what it will look like. So they're building a mobile app. So I think it's probably time for Cursor to expand out into other niches and try and figure out other ways to get some sort of edge. Because I do every single hike, like at our company, our backend developer was like, oh my God, Claude Code is so much better than Cursor right now. Like he is like blown away. And he's just like, I literally tried Cursor and Windsurf for 30 minutes and then Claude Code just one prompted it. And like, he'll just like enter a prompt and then just like walk away for 7 or 8 minutes and come back.
That's the crazy part. Like, and that's where like it actually feels agentic. I know we've been saying agentic this whole time, but Claude Code is the one. And I sound like a shill. By the way, mind you, they're not paying me. I wish they were. But it genuinely, it's the first time I felt agentic. And I'll say it's the first time I felt like, programmers who don't use these tools, you're definitely going to get like outshipped. Like I know we've been saying this whole time, but for the most part, I'm like, man, a really talented senior developer can like go insane. But Claude Code is the first time where I'm like, this is real. Like this is powerful.
So one question I have for you is like, so Codex was recently released like in the last year by OpenAI. What is the difference between Codex and Claude Code? And then something like Devin, what about those three tools? Because it seems like they don't have kind of the standard interfaces like these three tools that you have here. What is the difference between these tools?
I'll explain the difference between Codex and Claude Code. So the underlying difference is Codex works on the cloud and Claude Code works on your local development, like on your computer. And there's pros and cons to both. I think the right bet is local, just because and especially if you're building like serious applications and there's maybe certain things you need to install, like you're limited to what OpenAI allows you to install with Codex, right? Versus with Claude Code, I mean, on my computer, I can install whatever I want. I could install malware, right? So like that's, I would say, the big differentiator, and obviously the models that they use. I've used Codex before. Codex is pretty good. It's not Claude Code though. Like I will just say this, in terms of like sheer power and output and speed, I definitely think Claude Code takes it. But again, when I look at Codex and them making it on the cloud, it makes sense for, let's say, if you're a vibe coder or you're not really comfortable. Like I know many vibe coders are comfortable with Cursor and Windsurf, but let's think even broader. Most people are not, right? And if you can go from your like friendly chat assistant to being able to tell it to build something and they almost make it feel very intuitive and clean and simple, then Codex wins big with that market, right? So I would say...
Right, you could almost make Codex a tool that ChatGPT could have access to, in theory, if it's in the cloud. Like, you could say, hey, create an app, and you could literally just do this in ChatGPT, and then it just says, okay, running that tool, and then maybe it sends it back to you, and it's just a web app link that you can open up right there, and you can look at it, and you go back to ChatGPT and say, no, change it. And, like, that is... That's pretty big, and I don't count that out for OpenAI.
If there's one thing that OpenAI has proved to us over the year is that they have knocked the park out of consumer, right? Perplexity held search down, and then ChatGPT came with their search, massive, right? Deep research came massive, right? Image gen came massive, right? So I definitely wouldn't count them out in terms of like being able to build consumer products or things that consumers will want to use. I just think in terms of like, if I were to pick one, I would go with Claude Code, because Claude Code just seems to, and I think it's a design choice that they went for the terminal because they don't really want to build the UX layer for you and all that stuff. Use whatever you're already using. And this is truly an agent that you just install in whatever you're using, right? So I think it's a purposeful design choice. And that's what makes, in my opinion, Claude Code better than Codex. It's more for me, for you, for someone who's a power user. Devin is different, though. I would put Devin in the same, say, this is code review. Like, this is one spectrum of code review. And let's say this is another spectrum of, like, agent. I would put Devin somewhere around here, right? Maybe in the middle, right? Somewhere, like, in this spectrum where I don't think, and I haven't used Devin heavily, but based on the people I know at different companies who work at, they'll use Devin for feature-specific things, right? So you already have an existing code base, right? It's functional. It's in production. You have your Git workflows. You have a way of deploying to production. You have a staging environment. Devin integrates well with that. You can tell it what to do on Slack, and it will basically build you a feature, right? Or it will review an existing feature that you've built, right? You have then CodeRabbit, right? And I'll maybe make this clearer for everyone to see. I would put, let me just clear this up. I would put CodeRabbit here. And by the way, I would 100% use CodeRabbit. Like, their free tier is pretty good if your thing is open source. And if it's not, I think it's a couple dollars a month. Like, CodeRabbit is a great code reviewer. So, like, whatever they do at, I know they're not an agent, but what at code review, it is great. I can't tell you the amount of bugs I've caught using CodeRabbit. So excellent at what they do. Cursor is
built. Just to clear things up, I've used CodeRabbit. I've actually have CodeRabbit. I used it like once. And to my knowledge, it's like when you ship a new feature and you upload it to GitHub, it will basically look at the changes you made and be like, hey, like, this is good. Or like, no, you should change this. You could do this better. And it helps you. It's like one layer to like catch mistakes or something like that.
See, the thing is, it's great because if you've noticed this, like, Riley, and I love your feedback, is whenever you start off a project with any model, really, it always starts strong. But as it continues to go on, like either performance goes out of whack or the model just started losing, like, it's easy to start, it's hard to finish, right? And there's a thing with like, maybe the model has too much context. This is why they tell you create a new chat, start fresh and all that stuff. With CodeRabbit, it gets your code all at once. And it just, I think because it's not being repetitively used like the other like tools, it just is great at catching like either flaws or security mistakes optimizations, right? So I think...
So you're saying that like when you're using Cursor, because you need to manage your context and you can't speak into the same agent window for hours, that like it's going to lose track of what you're doing in while you're using Cursor. But this is kind of a good thing. Like once you end your full session, which might be 10 different agent chat windows, this will see it all at once and analyze it all at once so that you don't miss the big ones. Okay.
So this is my technical theory, right? It could be something else, but based off my experience, CodeRabbit, like it's just been like, and this is from like, I'm talking from also other developers. I'm using it in big projects and it's just been great. And it's something simply you install. And it literally, one thing that I love, I don't know if I have a repo I can show, but it will give you a prompt to give the agent. Like if you're using Claude Code or Cursor, it will tell you, this is the bug that I found. Copy this prompt and paste it in whatever tool you're using and it will fix it for you, right? So I think this is one of those quick wins that if you haven't been using again, they're not paying me. I wish they were. Hopefully they do one day. It's a simple addition. And then for agent, we have Claude Code on this side of the spectrum. And then Devin is somewhere here where it's great at code review, but it can also build features. But I haven't heard any stories of people building Devin, like something from scratch. And to the company's point, they called it an AI software engineer. And more than likely for like big companies, like a software engineer is not going to be building something from scratch, right? They're probably going to build and maintain features, right? So if that's what they're building Devin for, that's perfect. So if you're a vibe coder and your product hasn't hit product market fit and you haven't hired developers, I don't really think you need Devin. I think you get you something like a Cursor, Windsurf, plus Claude Code if you want to be fancy, and CodeRabbit to review your stuff. I think you have a solid stack.
Okay, that's, yeah, you heard it here. And then so Codex would be to the right of Devin?
Yeah, so
and Codex. And to the left of Claude Code.
Yes, something like somewhere right here. And mind you, not saying it's more of a code reviewer, but I would just say, even though I would align it similarly with Claude Code, I think Claude Code is just more powerful simply for the fact that Codex is cloud based. And that's the problem with cloud, where let's say you want to spin up a server. Let's say you want to have multiple servers. Let's say you want to, you know, whatever that it is that you want to do, there's a certain limitation you have with cloud versus with your own local machine. You can run and install whatever you want, or even like security reasons, right? Let's say, you know, I wanted to build a, you know, blockchain project. Why? I don't know, but let's say I do, right? There's certain security things and keys and stuff like that that I just wouldn't want on the cloud versus with Claude Code. It's all on my machine.
So if I were to be launching into a long project, right? Like you and I are going to do in a future episode, where do you start, right? I think that is a big question for vibe coders. I think what, you know, Lovable, Tempo, Bolt, the whole nine yards, all those companies do a really good job of doing is kind of giving you a place to start from. You know, like if you just open up Claude Code, it's hard to know what to do. I know you can open up Cursor, a fresh project on Cursor, and you can say, build all the files and it will just do it. I guess in the next episode, when we build something from scratch using only AI and Claude Code, how are we going to start? And like, how are we going to think about it?
Here's the way I think of this, right? And this is stuff I've done for myself without AI. You realize that most projects have sort of the same base foundation, meaning you'll need a landing page, right? Simple. You'll need authentication, right? You'll want to authenticate the user. You want to store some user information, right? You want the user to be able to log in with Google, email, whatever it is, right? You'll want a database to store this information, right? And here's one thing I want to say. The one thing that actually frustrates me, Riley, is when I see vibe coders debate on which database platform makes more sense for you. It doesn't matter. Yes. Believe me, until you hit PMF and it scales, then you can worry about it. But until then, bro, you use Supabase, you use Convex. By the way, I prefer Convex. But whatever it is that you use, doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter.
It's the midwit meme, you know, like where like, you know, the people, I mean, it's like if the database, because I looked at the numbers, right? If when you're using Firebase versus if you're using Supabase or InstantDB, you know, there's a lot of different tools you can use. It really doesn't become that big of an expense until you're making so much revenue that like hiring someone to come in and figure that out for you is going to be very easy, right? Yes. Especially if you have the proper monetization in the app that you're creating, right? Like, and so, yeah, it doesn't really matter. And even I think the Cursor Windsurf debate is kind of not even worth it, really, because at the end of the day, it's going to come down to like, especially if you're vibe coding and you're not using AI, it's going to come down to like how meticulous you are, like, and like, it's going to come down to grit, determination, and then discipline in like actually building the one feature that you need to make a solid app, which is where I think a lot of people go wrong. They try and build a ton of different features into an app and then they just get lost when they should have and could have easily built that one feature. I call it the halo feature that is at the center of their marketing. And they just could have marketed that one feature really well. And once you kind of have that revenue coming in, then you can worry about expanding it out and even hiring a team to come help you.
We need a DB, we need auth, and we need to accept payments. And one thing I'll add, like, if there's one thing I would focus on, is like there's a term called DX, developer experience. I would focus on tools that have that focus on AX, like AI experience. So like, what do the AI models, what are AI models good at? If you notice, TypeScript is a big thing with AI models. And the reason why the models will do good with TypeScript is because with TypeScript, there's a way to check if things are done right with types, right? And this is getting technical, but the AI has a way to go through the code. And even though it might be hallucinating, it can check if it's done things right based on the rules of TypeScript, right? So for example, for me, I usually use the database provider or the backend provider Convex because I realize that AI is really good with writing Convex code just because it's TypeScript, right? At the end of the day, whatever you use, until you start to really, really scale, you won't feel it. Once you scale, you've made money, you're rich, congrats, hire some developers, you know, send back the money to the developers who built these tools. But I say that to say, if I were to build something using AI, I would first find a solid template. Now, Riley, I don't know if you have a template. I have two that I use on my GitHub. I have a React starter.
Back when we first started, yeah, we had templates, but they are out of date at this point because they go out of date relatively quickly. But yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
And I saw that you messaged me that you have a template, and I've actually forked this before and it works really well. And you're the first one who's started talking about payment templates, which is actually like one of the biggest things that, you know, people want to make money with these tools. And so you've kind of built that in. And obviously there's keys you need to plug in, right? If you have a Stripe integration, you need to plug in your Stripe account, and that can be learned over time.
Yes.
But yeah, anyway, keep going.
Yeah. So once, like I have two, one was with React Starter, once a React Starter, once Next Starter. The only difference is this one uses Convex. This one uses a Postgres database. If you're not a developer, it doesn't matter. If you're a vibe coder, I would start with the React Starter Kit. And we'll talk about this in the next video. I also have a video on it on my channel. It's just easier to set up versus the Next Starter Kit. There's some like nuances that are a bit more difficult. So I would start with a starter kit. Get all my payments, DB, auth stuff figured out. And then what I would do using Claude Code, and this is key, Riley, I would tell Claude Code to analyze the code base and create a markdown file explaining the flow of the app, like how it works, how do the payments work, what it used, et cetera, et cetera. The reason being is now I'm going to use that file as a base layer, a knowledge base for it to continue to build features, right? So the plan is going to be find a template, download the template, set it up using Claude Code, tell me all the keys I need to set up, then build a markdown file telling me how the app works. And then what I'm going to do then is we're going to start building out features on top of this. So we have our payments, auth, and DB figured out. We just need to figure out the features and what we're going to build. And here's the cool part. I kid you not, couple days, like for funsies, I would say 60% of the code is written by Claude Code. I wanted to build like my own code rabbit, but on the web, right? And I log in with GitHub. I'll click on analyze, and then this pulls all my public repos. I'll click analyze repo, and I just want to show you what you can do with Claude Code. This is basically a full-on editor. I did not write the code for this.
You use Claude Code to make this tool called vibecheck.run. I saw this on your Twitter, and I was just like, what is this? Is this a new cursor update? Like, what's going on here?
This is where it blew my mind. 70%, I can confidently say 70% of this code is written by Claude Code. And then I'll click like security analysis, and then I'll call a Claude 4.0. I have an agent that runs through all the code and then will suggest changes, right? And in these changes, I haven't worked on this feature yet, but I can push these changes to GitHub, create a pull request, and someone can merge that code change in. This took me 2 days. And when I say 2 days, I'm talking about 2 hours each day. And this was done through Claude Code, right?
So in
this
4 hours, basically, in 4 hours, right? You could have done this in a 4 hour window. You created this. This is insane. Just even the design alone, the design for the chat is fantastic.
And here's the thing. And this would have maybe 2 weeks. Like I could have done this. Like But the impressive part for me is not that it did something I could do. The impressive part is the time it saved, right? And with Claude Code, like, again, I skimmed through the code. I looked at it. I saw what it did. I checked everything. And like, Riley, I did this in like 4-5 hours of just me relaxing and just chilling. And this is why I think, like, you find you a solid template, right? You find your solid template. You know, get you Claude Code to analyze the code base. By the way, don't judge me for my spelling. Claude base. And then you build features. I am telling you, you're going to have a great time. Will you get stuck at times? Of course. Will things get difficult? Of course.
We don't need to hypothesize about it. We're going to do it within the next week or two. We're going to do this. So here's the end of the episode. Is we are, the next time Mickey and I talk, we are going to build an app with Claude Code, starting from your template. It's going to have auth. It's going to have payments.
Everything.
It's going to have everything. And we're going to ship it live. And by the end of the episode, we're going to have a link for people to go to see it, right?
That's the goal. We're going to make a link. So make sure you spam, like, share, whatever it is.
Hell yeah. And then, by the way, to everyone who's watching, I'm going to link Mickey's YouTube channel. I'm also going to link your starter template. And then whatever else you want me to link, your Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you for coming on. This is actually... I think it's really useful to put these tools next to each other to kind of get this mental market map. And I think it's actually useful to do with other categories as well. Like, I was trying to look at the difference between N8N and Zapier and Make and try and figure out, like, what different tools are on the market. Like, because you can't really use the tools unless you kind of know, kind of, it's always helpful to get that kind of perspective. And so I thank you. You're always, like, very good at explaining things. This was a lot of fun. So thanks for coming on.
First of all, I appreciate the privilege. I appreciate the kind words. Thank you so much for having me all. And yeah, like, just like, man, like, just have fun with the tools, right? Like, a lot of them have free trials. Like, a lot of them are a couple bucks a month. Like, you know, just have fun. Like, don't take it too seriously until you have to.
100%. 100%. All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye, everyone. Thank you, Riley.